WFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station, ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, that's one of the best bands, young bands, Greta Van Fleet, Highway Tune. A little reminiscent of Led Zeppelin. You like that sound, Matt?
I do. I love Led Zeppelin. Yeah. Especially the Led Zeppelin 4.
Yeah, this is Greta Van Fleet, a young band, but they do have a bit of a Zeppelin kind of singer. Sounds a little Zeppelinish. All right, let's. Nicholas Santowski over on Facebook Soccer Matters has a very good question here, Matt. I'm going to read this to you. You might need a little more time to address this one. He says, Glenn, Matt has spoken of the strategic plan. Nothing has been shared with the fans. Is there a plan? What is it? We, the fans, want to know so we can hold people accountable. None of us like going to an empty stadium, but the fans will come back when the team is winning. How do they intend to get the team back to its winning ways? What is the plan to close out the season? So I guess let's start with the strategic plan and the vision. That's what he wants to know about, Nicholas Santowski.
Well, first of all, Nicholas, thank you for taking the time to put together that question. I've communicated what our club's strategic plan is, but I'll go into it. We want to be a team that's consistently qualifying for the playoffs and competing for championships with a roster that is comprised of young foreign players with upside that we can help to move on to the next level, American players in their prime, and players coming from our system. That is our goal. And at the same time, putting a product on the field that the fans can be proud of, that is reflective of the diversity of the city of Houston and celebrating that diversity and everything this city stands for. And we want to also, throughout that process, continue to stay true to our core values as a club, which is very important for us as we take player decisions, we take coaching decisions, and we take all decisions, really.
What can you remind them of what the core values are, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, for us as a club, there's nothing more important. You know, in this club, I mean, you look at the beginning, Glenn, from the very beginning of this club, you know, and this is a big part and a big challenge of my role, right? When I came to the club 4 years ago, a big challenge is how do you take and bridge the foundation of what the club was built upon from the past, but evolve it to the realities of MLS today. That's because the league, again, I was in this league as a player from the very beginning. And so no one's lived all the ups and downs this more than, well, there are guys that have lived it as much as me, but I've been front and center. You know, but for us, our core values as a club, we're always a team first club. You know, we're no individual is bigger than the club. We have a strong group that's willing to sacrifice for one another. We want our staff and our players to have a winning mentality. We're hardworking and we're committed. And as a club, you know, community service and community outreach is important. I mean, that's the foundation of what our club's all about.
Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan, you can call in 713-780-3776. He also has another really good question, I think, and this is a very good one. What is the plan to close out the season? He says, with playoffs all but gone, do you bring up academy players, bench players? Who provides the spark? So I guess they want to know, or Nicholas wants to know, are you going to have a different philosophy looking to the future here to close out the season?
I think the important thing for us is, you know, we want to finish the season strong. Davies, you know, been on the job going on 12 days. you know, so it's a very short period of time. So we have to be very fair, you know, with him as well. You know, and you know, we're doing everything possible to support him and the staff and our players, you know, to continue to battle and to get out of a difficult moment. Look, and these guys, they're working. You know, no one's more disappointed about the last game, but it's the past. You know, we can't dwell on it. You know, now it's time to move forward. And so our goal is to finish the season strong and to win as many games as possible.
He also wants an update on Ramel Kyoto. Now, he says, and his refusal to return to the team. Is that true? That's nothing I know about. Did he refuse to return to the team, Ramel Kyoto?
No. Right now, you know, Ramel Kyoto is training. He's he's training with our staff, but on individual training program, you know, to regain his fitness following the suspension that he had from the league. And so that's the situation with Ramel right now.
Okay, so that's the update on Ramel Kyoto. Let's go to the
being evaluated as we go.
Let's go to the phone lines.
And by the way, Glenn, that's a club decision.
Okay, what does that mean?
No, it's meaning that as a club, you know, we decided that was the plan that we were going to put in place for him. You know, to have an individual training plan with our staff, apart from the team at the moment. You know, coming off of his suspension, and to evaluate moving forward.
Okay, Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. Let's go to the phone lines, Victor. Victor, you're on with Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan.
Hey, Glenn, Victor Valanchek here. Matt, thanks for taking the question here. Sorry about this question here, but it's not like you have enough on your plate, but the event that took place in FC Dallas with our away fans being removed, the entire away section in the 80th minute, looking to hear your response and what is the Dynamo's response on this, and because I just, to me, it just, it does feel absurd, and I'm kind of quoting actually a tweet from AJ De La Garza. He said it himself. This is absurd. I just feel like we're in grade school here. We're punishing an entire group for maybe some wrong actions of a few. I just feel like I watch soccer week in and week out, and I look at the away fan sections, and they have a ton of security in those away fan sections to segregate and separate and to reduce conflict. What is MLS doing? What did FC Dallas do? What did they do wrong? Why is this happening?
Yes. First of all, Victor, thank you for taking the time to listen to the show, and thank you for your call. I was at the game. I was there live. To be honest with you, I was, you know, very focused on the game, you know, and I didn't see what happened. But from what I've learned, you know, following kind of the aftermath of the game, is there was a mutual agreement between Dallas security and our staff that would be in the best interest of all parties, you know, for the group to step away. But again, I wasn't, you know, considering the scoreline at that time, but I was so focused on the game, Victor, that I wasn't there front and center. But looking at it after the fact and what I've learned, that was my understanding of the situation. You know, I may not have every detail, but that was my understanding.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I don't think you're going to get a lot of people who are going to agree with that decision. People paid money to be there. I think the onus is on the venue, on FC Dallas, and on MLS to provide a secure environment for proper fan experience. Obviously they failed. So that's just my opinion on that, I hope you guys take some action on that.
Yeah, no, Victor, I understand your perspective, and I'm just passing on the information I have, but I totally understand your perspective.
Okay, Victor.
I appreciate that. Thanks for taking the question.
Thank you, Victor.
Thank you, Victor.
And it's Victor Valanchek, who's with Houston Cules, one of the supporters group in town, and he's been up in studio. Thank you, Victor. There was a statement put out by the Dynamo, by the way. Chris Strohmeyer says, what are the chances of getting an experienced coach with lots of international experience?
Hey, Chris. Well, first of all, is Chris on the line?
No, no, that's from Facebook Soccer Matters.
Okay, all right, cool. Well, Chris, thanks for taking the time to present the question. I mean, I think, you know, what's really important for us is having a club that fits, you know, first of all, the core values of our club, that understands, you know, what the club's strategic plan is, and also is someone that believes in the philosophy, you know, that's being implemented. So, and I think it's really important that there are candidates, and this can be foreign and this can be domestic candidates. This can be considered, that understand the unique aspects of the Major League Soccer, because it is a very, very unique league to any league in the world. But the most important thing is understands, you know, the core values of the club and what we're working towards, and is ready to roll up their sleeves and be a part of that. And obviously Davey is being considered for the role as well. You know, he and the staff have stepped into a difficult moment, and I can assure you they're doing everything possible and they're working their tails off to get out of this difficult moment, and again, he's been, at it now for right around 12 days. So, we need to be fair and balanced with that process as we're continuing to go through a coaching search process as well, while considering him.
713-780-3776. So would you consider, I guess what he's saying is, would you consider like a Vucetic, who's available in Mexico, an Efrain Flores, a Matias Almeida type guy? I mean, would those guys be considered?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We've gotten so much interest in the position, and it speaks volumes about our city and our club, and absolutely we're evaluating all options that are coming in. And then it's a filtering process, and you go through that filtering process and you narrow down the list, and obviously, Davey is being considered for the role as well. And so absolutely we're looking at all candidates from different,
Matt, here's,
different parts of the world.
An interesting one. And this one's coming from me. You spoke of the great core values of those cup winning teams in 6 and 7. And that was a unique situation with San Jose coming here. And there was, the return of professional soccer. People were just primed and pumped for it. And, of course, the Dynamo came in and delivered the first 2 years. We've had a lot of failed franchises and those carcasses and bones scattered throughout the city, although they all helped set the table for where we are now, all those people. And you played in a variety of leagues, and I would say you were a pioneer as well. So one of the great aspects of those teams was just their availability, their accessibility. And I know that wasn't a thing Wilmer Cabrera liked very much. Will that change? Because that is how you create goodwill. And players, people want to get to know them. They want to get to know you. They want to get to know John Walker. They want accessibility to you guys. Will that change in the future?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that will change. And that is changing already.
Yeah, I got the sense.
We've opened up our practices, on the first 3 days of the week. I appreciate the compliment. I do take a lot of pride in being one of many pioneers of U.S. soccer in this league. And again, I mean, we know that we need to get out there. We know that, we need to continue to be accessible. The league's changed a little bit in that aspect with some of the rules and regulations we have to deal with, with different things that have come up. But absolutely that is already changing, and it's something that we place a high level of importance on. And look, I pride myself on being available. You've known me for a long time, and I'll always do my best to be available and to answer questions that come up or be accessible.
Well, we have appreciated you coming on here. And part of it in me says this is what a general manager is supposed to do. But the other part of it is your willingness to do it, I think, is something to really be lauded here. So I think that's a good thing. Brandon Campbell says, and I know he's a longtime fan because I recognize Brandon. He says, I want to hear Matt give details of the realistic plan to make this team the MLS Cup contender for 2020. What specifically is he doing that we can count on?
Well, I think specifically first of all, Brandon, thank you for putting forward your question. I think specifically, what I've outlined what the club's strategic plan is, and again, now continuing to look at, okay, and analyze, how can we continue to build on the foundation that we've already started? How can we continue to strengthen our academy and the vertical integration? And again, looking at clubs like, you know, New York Red Bulls or the Philadelphia Union or Sporting Kansas City, or you alluded to Dallas, right? You know, those are clubs that, you know, they stay true to who they are. And to me, that's very important. And that's something that I've always taken a lot of pride in. And every stop in my career is, and again, you have to think, Glenn, I've either worked or played for five MLS clubs. And so for me, we have to stay true to who we are. The good thing with MLS is that, you know, it's a single entity structure, and there's a lot of different, you know, there's a lot of different mechanisms in place where you can turn your team and your season around, you know, very quickly, as you saw in 2017 when we advanced to the Western Conference Final. We're continually looking at, okay, what are our good foundational pieces? What are areas that we can strengthen the team? What are, you know, some difference makers we can bring in? Are we open to bring a big name player? Absolutely. But that player has to deliver. You know, there's not going to be a player. While I'm here, as something I take a lot of pride in, if someone's coming to just get a paycheck, it's not going to work for me. As the general manager of the team, that I can assure you, it's finding the right player that has the right fit. And I can tell you that's, you know, our ownership group feels the same way, and so does our leadership at the club.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not hard to do, though. Figure out who's really going to be pretty committed, I would think. I mean, those guys pretty much show that they're not into the league. Last one I got to say, Matt, for you is, first of all, we do thank you very much for coming on the show. As always, we appreciate that. We appreciate your interaction with the fans. I know there's a lot of questions that we didn't get to, but listen, you spent a lot of time with us tonight. You have a family. We appreciate that. We'd love to have you on again. This show is always open to you to come on, speak to the fans. I think this is only healthy.
Well, Glenn, I appreciate it. I really appreciate the time and the platform. And, you know, look, we're not happy with where we're at, and we're doing everything possible to get things moving in the right direction.
Just this one I'm going to slip in here because my producer's shaking his fist at me. Are you disappointed, and are you a little bit concerned about the fact that this is two straight seasons where we've kind of downward spiraled at the same time? And what do we think the reasons for that is?
Yeah, it is concerning. It is concerning. And I think that that was a factor in making a coaching change as well. I think those, it's really important to analyze, you know, the way where the team's being prepared, you know, analyzing, okay, you know, what's the balance between international call-ups and having players available? How can we continue to refine our the planning of our microcycles throughout the calendar year. Everything, you have to analyze everything when you're in a difficult moment, Glenn. And I think that's something that we are doing. So, yes, to answer your question, I think that's something that is a valid point.
Matt, thank you so much. Get back to your family. We appreciate you coming on the show. Wonderful stuff interacting with the fans tonight.
Thank you, Glenn. Have a good evening.
All right. That's Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. That's pretty significant. He spent a lot of time with us tonight. So big thank you to Matt Jordan for doing that. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, Joel Weiss, Arsenal Supporters Group here in Houston. By the way, you can also call in right now and give us your thoughts on the Matt Jordan interview. 713-780-3776. Well, not really an interview. Him coming on the program tonight. 713-780-3776. Joel Weiss, Arsenal Supporters Group here in Houston, will be on. Sam Mbonu, Super Eagle Sam, Afro Vibes, big Liverpool fan. They're going to join me in studio. We'll talk a number of things, Premier League coming up. We'll also talk Major League Soccer. We'll continue on. This is the best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed. And a big thank you, as always, to Kings Court, 903 Hutchins Street, down near the stadium. That's the place to be. It's in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. They got 13 monitors down there, rooftop deck spectacular, British and Indian pub-style cuisine, and the greatest bartender in the world, Giovanni. KingsCourtHoustonTX.com.
ESPN 97.5. listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They're personal injury attorneys. John and his firm is going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. We don't want these things to happen, but when they do, you have to have representation. Daspit Law Firm will have you covered 24/7, nights and weekends. And they're the presenting sponsors of this show and also our sister program in Austin now, which is on Horn FM up there, on the Horn. So, you know, we're rolling here and in Austin, which is great. And John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, presenting sponsor for both those shows. So we do thank them very much. I'm just going to quickly hit Robert here very quick. Robert, you got to make it quick here. I'm going to give you about 30 or 40 seconds because I want to get to my guests here. Robert, you want to react to the Matt Jordan interview? Go.
Yeah, no, I was just, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. I was just kind of reacting to what Matt just said. And first of all, I want to thank him so much for, you know, as much as I think there's not transparency at this club that we support, I think that Matt does a great job by coming on the show, and I think that's really
Absolutely.
Good. But at the same time, I thought he was very, you know, I felt like there was it seems to be a disconnect between him and the owners, and I feel like that's what we want to see as fans. We want to see progress being made at this club, and without, you know, some more transparency from between those two parties, we're going to have trouble getting anywhere. What do you think about that?
I would agree. I think transparency these days in professional sports is important from owners, your inspirational leader, whoever that is. I think that's important. If we go back to the days at Robertson, remember, it was Oliver Luck out front. I mean, mixing with the fans, talking to people, listening to people, that's vitally important in any market. And you have to identify who that person is, who can get that done, and who knows the Houston market well enough. I mean, it's not easy for Matt Jordan coming into this market, okay? Let's be very honest. Or for anybody coming from the outside. They don't know the soccer market quite like we do. I would even say that about Chris Kennedy in the past. It's not easy to understand Houston, Texas. It's so big, it's so diverse, and it's got tremendous groups like one of our guests right here, Sam Mbonu, who is a big part of the Nigerian community, and we'll talk about that with Sam in a minute. But I thank you for that, Robert. All this discussion is great, and I agree with you. It's great Matt came on the show, and we want that to be regular because this is how you re-engage people and keep them connected to your team. Thank you very much for the call, Robert.
Excellent.
All right, so we bring on Joel Weiss now of, well, it's Gooners Houston, right?
Yeah, Houston Gooners.
Houston Gooners, sorry, yeah. I got it backwards, Joel.
Joseph.
Yeah. We appreciate it. We just talked about that.
It's all right.
Your mother named you a very religious name.
No, it's all right. Pleasure to be here. Thanks.
Yeah,
we're
excited you're here. We're going to talk some Arsenal with Joseph. First off, just talk about your supporters group, where people can contact you guys, because there are probably Arsenal fans in this giant city of Houston know about your group.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a few of them. Houston's such a big city. There's people all over this town. And we kind of revamped the our Arsenal supporters group here. So we are the Houston Gooners officially. We invite you guys to come to the HoustonGooners.com. We've got all our information there. Schedule, you know, fixture list, any events that we're doing, you can find all that there. And then on like Instagram and Twitter and everything, we are at H-Town Gooners. So if you guys want to check, they're always putting on photos and things that we're doing. And so HoustonGooners.com. I would like to mention that we're doing a new thing this year where we're doing a $25 membership for the group. And when you become a member of the Houston Gooners for the season, you're actually going to get a Houston Gooners scarf, some stickers. And what's really important is this member card that will get you discounted drinks and food and things at Jack and Ginger's where we watch our games. So that's, Jack and Ginger's in Midtown. That's where we're at every morning, 6 in the morning or in the afternoon. We're there. They're a great, great place, great drinks, great food. So $25 for the season gets you all that and get some discounts and free entries into any Houston Gooner thing events that we will do throughout the season. Got a couple of things planned. And so, yeah, just, you know, hit us up, contact us anytime, and we'll get you.
And we'll give the information out again before the show's over. Joseph will do that again, and we'll talk some Arsenal here shortly. Mm-hmm. Big thank you for Sam and Bonu, Super Eagle Sam, as I call him, in the house, Afro Vibes Radio. Sam, how are you?
I'm all right, Glenn. How you doing?
All right, let's get a quick word from you about Liverpool so far in the Premier League this year. Yeah, you live in Lawrence,
that. They started the season, you know, in a familiar fashion, just the way they started last time out. But it's still early in the season for, you know, me to start making some predictions, you know, because...
No, I didn't ask you for predictions. How do you like it so far?
It's pretty amazing that they're picking
up where they left off.
No, so far it's good. You know, they picked up where they left off last season. You know, Mo Salah, you know, still he's a phenomenal self, Sadio Mane. You know, despite the fact that he joined the team late in the season because of Nations Cup commitment, you know, he's still pulling strings. And Virgil van Dijk, you know, that man has marshaled Liverpool, you know, back four. Real good. And with Alisson out, Adrian so lucky to step up. Simeone Mignolet was there for throughout last season. He never had a chance to play in the EPL. But the moment he went to Club Brugge, Adrian came in, boom, Alisson got injured and Adrian made his debut. So
goalkeeping position looks very solid. So there's no irony in the fact that I got a Liverpool and an Arsenal guy in here. After Liverpool's 3-1 win over Arsenal, Joseph, I'm very sorry. But what are the positives you take out of that game against Liverpool for Arsenal fans?
The first positive is that it wasn't 5-1 like it was last season. So we'll take that first. Listen, I think Arsenal are in a rebuilding stage right now, and as we all know, if you can see that in other clubs, including Liverpool over their history, Manchester United and whatnot, the transitional period is a tough one. But I think that the higher ups at the club at this moment have a plan, and I think that they are in the process of executing something that really may be something special. I don't think this year, and I'm not so certain about the following season. But after that, I think we're going to have a... I think if we just stick to a plan, and if Emery executes it correctly with the type of players that he's bringing in, which are his players, because when Arsene Wenger left, he left all these you know, players that aren't his, and I don't know if they were ready to play the type of ball that Emery wanted. So that takes a little bit of time.
You're telling me he's going to get 3 years?
I don't think I'm not 100% sure on that. I think that
you're
this
hoping
is
they give him time.
I hope that he gets Arsenal back in the Champions League this season. I think that's the one and only goal that he's got to do. Now, I don't know if we do get in the Champions League, as you know, the Champions League, you know, Arsenal in the last few years don't compete really well in the Champions League when they're there. So some say too that Emery may not be the coach to take them far in the Champions League should they make it, but that's something else to be discussed. But right
let's
now,
get there first,
exactly.
Right?
But I think he's a good coach, and I think what he's doing with the players is he's working the kinks out. But,
so Unai Emery said after the game he thought there were good passages and moments of good play, but he said they didn't counter the pressure of Liverpool well. In other words, I think what he was saying was with the pressing game of Liverpool and the pressure, once they won the ball, they could have been better in transition.
That's correct. I think Emery has this idea of of playing this counterattack style of play, which is very aggressive. It's not something that Arsenal are used to doing. But when you execute that against a team like Liverpool that has so many weapons, that plan can not so much backfire. But if it starts not to go into the plan at the very beginning, the rest of the match is going to be, you know, reflection upon that. And I think that he's got, like, with the inclusion of Pepe and the Aubameyang speed, there's that whole plan of doing this, you know, counterattacking game and everything. I think it's a really good one. And it's only, the third game of the season, so there's a lot of, you know, still time to figure this out. But playing that type of ball against Liverpool, European champions, I mean, they are the best at what they do.
Let me come in there a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, watching that game between Liverpool and Arsenal, the way Unai Emery set his team up on that match day, Jurgen Klopp didn't, you know, expect that because Unai Emery set that team up to curtail, you know, the dangerous move of the two fullbacks, Robinson and Trent. And you saw during the first 35 in Liverpool, we are all over Arsenal. Ceballos was there to do what he did against Burnley. But how long?
So his plan was to take the width away.
Yes.
Yep.
The width away and then deal with the three up front.
With the counter. So how long do you think you can, you know, soak in the pressure against a Liverpool team that fire from all cylinders? And after Liverpool couldn't penetrate, you know, with ground ball. They said, you know, going through the up ball because of Virgil van Dijk and Matip, you know, for the set pieces, and he played on the 48th minute. But in the second 45 minutes, you know, the case became a little bit different, looking at the pep talk they might have gotten from Jurgen Klopp. So, looking at Arsenal, they will come out good, you know, breaking their salary cap to bring in Pepe, £75 million. Wasn't an easy thing. So, we're going to give Unai Emery time. Now, he's signed his own kind of players to really enforce his kind of philosophy.
Joseph, has the club come out and said they're going to give Unai Emery the time?
I'm not particularly sure. I do think that they're giving him the time within a kind of a restricted frame, which probably will be 3-4 years. But I think that this last season, you know, he got to the Europa League final, which was a great feat to get there. But we should have made it into Champions League not via by winning the Europa League final. We should have got in by getting the top four, and yeah. we missed out on that by a lot of mistakes.
I disagree with you because look at Jose Mourinho again with Manchester United. Mm-hmm. The moment he saw that it would be difficult for him to get to the top four, mm-hmm. he now focused all his energy to win the Europa League, which will give him a Champions League ticket. So I think Unai Emery, looking at the fact that Tottenham, Liverpool, Manchester City, and Chelsea were in a better form than Arsenal last time out, he could have focused the energy on winning the Europa League to get into the Champions League. So for Chelsea to have qualified for Champions League by finishing fourth in the Premier League, Unai Emery's only chance was to win the Europa League. He should have done everything in his power, bring out his A game to win the Europa League.
Well, I'm sure he probably did. Let's go back. Liverpool 3-1 over Arsenal. You know, we always talk about Virgil van Dijk, and believe me, he's one of my favorite players, and I'll tell you why, because he exudes professionalism.
Yes. Yeah.
He's not one of these guys taking pictures of his abs. He's not doing all that stuff, which I find remarkable because it seems that element at Liverpool is not as big as at some other clubs and with certain players. I could be wrong there. But we talk a lot about Van Dijk. Joel Matip, give me a quick word or two on him before we go to break because he sometimes gets overlooked playing next to Van Dijk.
Left for me, I prefer the partnership of Joel Matip and Virgil van Dijk because they are tall, they can deal with area balls, and Joel Matip has really upped his game. Look at the fact that Joe Gomez is breathing on his neck to take that spot. So the combo of Van Dijk and Joel Matip, I think, is the best that Klopp can give Liverpool fans on each match day.
We're going to keep it going here. Manchester United 3-1 over Bournemouth. Guess what? David Silva, 400th appearance for City. He ran the show. Aguero got his 400th goal. Newcastle 1-0 over Spurs. That's a bad one. They got a big problem there. What's going to happen with Christian Eriksen? Because without the creative fulcrum, that is a real, real issue. He does not sound like he wants to stay there. Eriksen is not happy. Wolves and Burnley 1-1. Southampton 2-0 over Brighton. United goes down to Crystal Palace. An important day for Gary Cahill, who did not get a lot of playing time under Sarri at Chelsea. Van Aanholt, the game winner for Palace. First win in 21 attempts for Palace against United. Sheffield United, the Blades. I spent 3 weeks training there. Once as a pro, sent over to train there. People in Sheffield, awesome. They go down to Leicester 2-1. Watford down to West Ham 3-1, and of course Aston Villa 2-0 over Everton. Kylian Mbappe is going to miss 3 weeks with a hamstring tear. He's going to miss the opening Champions League match for PSG. Okay, we're going to take a break here. It is a Daspit Law Firm break. It's a King's Court break. It's a Hugh O'Connor's, by the way, 7620 Katy Freeway, Markey Entertainment Center. Good friend Peter, that's where the Liverpool Supporters Group hangs out. It is a great spot over there off of I-10. We'll take a break. More to come with Joseph Weiss of the Arsenal Supporters Group and Sam Mbonu of Afro Vibes Radio. He claims he's a Liverpool fan, and I think I know he is.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a big thank you to Joseph Weiss, who's coming here with the Arsenal Supporters Group. Sam Mbonu, Afro Vibes Radio, also a huge Liverpool fan. And it's been all right tonight. great to have Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan on the show. Love the fact that he said there's going to be more transparency with the players and things in the future. I think that's great, and I think the fans really want that. That is the way of the world these days. All right, let's go back and go back to you, Joseph, and just talk about Arsenal and what are some of the biggest needs right now? What are some of the areas of concerns around the club from a playing perspective?
Okay, from a playing perspective, I think that one of the greatest things that Arsenal has going for them right now, I think that if Emery could choose from the entire squad that he has, which includes a lot of people that are not fit at the time, Bellerin, Kieran Tierney, Rob Holding, these types of players. I think that if he can select from a fully healthy team, he does have a team that can compete for, definitely for the top four, a team that can compete to get back into the Champions League, whether it be via winning the Europa League or just playing really high-quality football in the Premier League. I think that that's there, and I think that with the inclusion of proper fullbacks, when we have Bellerin and Tierney, for example, and a little bit more solidity in defense, I think that that solves one of the biggest weaknesses that Arsenal has had in the last several years, and that's their defense.
Solidity in defense. Do you need more signings? That's what a lot
of people say. I think that they did a pretty darn good job this summer. We've signed several good players, and like I said, not to say that they're anything like a new signing, but when these players do come back, it does feel like that. And I don't think that Arsenal are going to get up and running really until maybe October, November. It's probably too late, maybe, in the scheme of how competitive the EPL is right now. But I think with that, it changes the whole idea of what, because typically with Arsenal, it's so all this pretty football and this and that and so much attacking, but the defense, you know, like Emery's even said too, I'd rather win 5-4 than win 1-0, which I think that's not always the best plan, especially when you play in a league that has opponents such as Liverpool and teams like Manchester City and Tottenham.
All right, look, David Luiz to me is on the downside of his career. Mm-hmm. Is that a signing you're excited about?
I don't think excited is the word. I think I'm glad that they brought in somebody that has primarily a lot of experience in the Premiership. I don't think that he brings calmness. When I watch Van Dijk, for example, play, that to me is the epitome of what a defender should be: calm, smart, you know, just intelligent,
composed, but also all the physical attributes, on the ball,
and also a leader. And that's another aspect too that Arsenal, I think, has missed over the last few years. And David Luiz, you know what? I'll take him in the squad. We didn't sign him for too long. I think it was just a couple of years. But integrate him in. I think that he'll come in handy in certain games. But not my first choice. But
you just said the thing, though, that really, and then I'm going to get to Sam, that really jumps out to me. Who is that leader? Who is that Patrick Vieira? Why is it taken a club with these resources so long to find that player? In other words, it was the same thing, Sam, with Liverpool. Why did it take them so long to find a center back and a goalkeeper when these were obvious areas that needed to be replenished and improved? Why can't they find that guy?
You know, I don't know if it's down to a level of like emotions between players and the coaches or whatever it may be, but even with Arsenal and their history, you know, when it was Mertesacker, then it was Koscielny, and it was kind of like the two of them. At one point, it was Arteta and Koscielny. They had this. There was never one solid guy. You know, Man City had company, whether he played or not. He was the captain. He was in the dressing room. He was there. And Arsenal has missed that. When you put the captain's band on somebody like Mesut Ozil, who on his best day is a fantastic footballer, I'm sorry, but as much as I dig Mesut Ozil playing in the red and white, I don't think that he's a leader, and I don't think that they have somebody.
But that was an attempt to try and revive him. Hey, Mesut, we're going to give you the captain's armband. Show us you can be a leader. Good luck with that.
Good luck with it. But you're not fooling anyone. And you're not fooling any Arsenal.
It's not
fan,
in his character to be like that.
It's not. No.
Why did it take Liverpool so long to find a goalkeeper, Sam, and reap the benefits now, and a center back like Van Dijk? I know they tried to get Van Dijk earlier.
You know, leaders are born, and sometimes leaders are made. Liverpool, over time, we've had leaders. Steven Gerrard was there for a long time. He was the leader in that team. when the Chiefs are down, who is that player that will, you know, rally?
I didn't mean leader. I meant a good center back.
I mean a good center back. Okay, fine. Okay. Sometimes it boils down to finance, money. What is the club philosophy in signing players? How much do they sign players? Like Arsenal have a salary cap. We don't sign players above this amount. We don't pay players above this amount. But when you hire a manager and you want to give him a free hand to operate, you got to also give him a free hand in terms of salary caps and money you've signed players. You know, so when Liverpool started to rebuild after Tom Hicks and George Gillette, Fenway Sports bought the team off from Tom Hicks and George Gillette, Liverpool was about going to administration. You know, he brought in money, but he said he was never going to sign crazy, crazy money on players. Club came along.
Yeah, but remember, let's look at this from an area of observation. Yeah, you spend huge money on Van Dijk, but if you have him for 8 or 9 years and he's the pillar of your club, you're making that money back.
You're making the money
back. If that's the type of guy he is, your goalkeeping situation's improved, but then you make these great buys and through your system come two outside backs that become now the most coveted outside backs in the league to some degree, right, in Robertson and Trent Arnold-Alexander.
You have to have a coach who has eye for talent, not just big names. Klopp.
So they did two great things.
Spent
real money
on some strategic position like the goalkeeper.
Two guys very inexpensively that are key cogs to this team in the way they play.
So it boils down to the coach having eye for talent,
yeah,
and also players want to play for some coaches.
Yep.
Like Van Dijk said, I want to play for Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Chelsea gave him a better contract. Mm-hmm. He said, no, I want to go to Liverpool. You know, so when you have that kind of manager with that kind of personality, players want to come and play for him.
All right, we got 4 minutes left in the show. Is that right? Okay, so I'm going back to you, Joel.
Sure.
And I do need to ask this question because I always do to supporters when they come in here. Are you guys Dynamo fans as well, or
absolutely,
do you want to be Dynamo fans?
I have been a Dynamo fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember going to Robertson and seeing those.
But I mean, in recent times.
In recent times, I'll be quite honest.
We got a lie detector in here.
I went and saw Rooney when he came here. That was the last game I went to. Used to go to all of them, and when the first season that the new stadium was built, I went to just about every game.
We got it. What would it take to get you back going to more?
Boy, that's the...
Because you had great times at Robertson.
That's the big question. Wonderful times at BBVA. I mean... I talk about it all the time with some coworkers and some friends. It's really difficult to say what it would be. I also do, from a marketing standpoint, which I do professionally, I look at how difficult that is to get people to just come to the stadium, to come there. At the end of the day, what you need is high, you know, proper quality on the pitch. And once that's there, everything else should work and, you know, should kind of figure itself out. But I know where the Dynamo are at when you look at the whole of the MLS, and I don't know... Where I mean, it's easy. If we had all the money in the world, we'd just say make a couple marquee signings, have a designated player.
But that's not going to sustain it long term. Piece of it.
I don't have the answer. It's funny, but you know, I'm one of the people that, you know, used to go and don't go, and I wonder, well, why should I go if that's not empty? If it's empty, and mm-hmm. I'm the one that's not going, you know, I'm making my own argument there because I should be there. And so
I think
the passion is here, Sam.
I think get a manager with more international experience. Also, get one marquee player. Then get players from some market. Not just focusing your attention on the South American market. No, expand your dragnet. Europe, Africa, South America, expand your dragnet. Asia, expand your dragnet.
Yeah, but isn't expanding your dragnet the obvious one to complement? You know, Matt Jordan said, you know, it's young, you know, it's American talent, it's young South American talent, it's our academy eventually that's got to reap some benefits. He said 18 to 24 months, you're going to see some players getting signed and being moved to the first team. But here's my point. It's got to be a Guardado or a Chicharito based on this market. Come on, guys. Memo Ochoa. It's got to be somebody that here.
My question is,
it can't be some guy from Eastern Europe.
When you look at some of these elite clubs in Europe, you know, how many players graduate from the academy to the first team? Maybe one or two. But they go out there and spend money and bring in quality players on the pitch. So you cannot, you know, based solely on your academy. Yes, they are there to sell players and develop, you know, good talent. So when you see the good ones in the academy, you promote them. Not just saying, oh, we're going to base an academy to feed the first team. No. Football now is money. Dynamo have to, you know, open up the checkbook.
Just think if a Guardado or a Chicharito came, how that would lift daily training sessions.
It's real.
How that would lift the overall, just the overall reach and exposure.
Even if it's one season.
Yeah.
Even if it's two seasons. Yeah. It will.
And believe me, that's not all that needs. I mean, it's a lot of things, and sure. I think it's not an easy fix.
We got to start from somewhere.
Man. And let's start somewhere. Yeah.
Start from somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not every time we open the phone line with the Dynamo hierarchy, we'll hear the same stuff every day. We're doing this, we're doing that. Not just men talking, we want to see actions. That's 20,000 capacity stadium. It should be filled to the brim every time Dynamo play MLS games right there.
Now, on another note for you two guys, supporters group passion is alive and well in Houston, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys been a part of the Dynamo initiative where they're trying to bring supporters groups together?
I personally have not, but I've just listened to all of that, and that's pretty great stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Can it be executed?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think so. All right. Just got to try it.
I would love to be part of that initiative.
Yeah, likewise.
Joseph Weiss. Thank you very much. One more time, where can they find you real quick?
HoustonGooners.com, and then our social media handles is at HTownGooners.
Great stuff. You know your team very well. I like what you had to say tonight. And
Sam,
thanks
for having
me. As always.
Always a pleasure to be here with you, Glenn, even though a couple of weeks I went through some kind of family issue. You know, someone coming inside my family. It was really a tough time for me, but I'm glad I was able to get out from that situation. So it is not good to lose passion for what you love doing.
Yeah.
When I was going through that situation, I nearly lost passion for talking sports. I was like, this is the only thing that made me happy. Why would I want to lose the happiness for it?
Well, you didn't have any passion tonight. You didn't bring any passion to this show.
I did, Glenn.
Absolutely. He's Sam Mbonu. He's Joseph Weiss. We thank them both for coming in. And a big thank you to Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. For my man Michael Hernandez stepping in tonight for the talented and world-traveling Andrew Carlson. We thank you very much. If you tuned in on Facebook, Soccer Matters, or any of the other places, thank you for that. Also, our thanks, as always, to our own Victor Ariza. That'll do it for tonight. Thank you, Daspit Law Firm, for being our presenting sponsor. Good night, everyone.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.